We're glad you're in the Lord's house today, and especially, again, I want to emphasize, I hope that you'll be here next week to hear Marty. Pray for good weather, you know, so that he'll have no trouble getting here from Raleigh, and you'll have no trouble getting here from wherever it is that you live in the area, and we'll be able to have a great time of drawing closer to the Lord and hearing from what God has to say to us and to the church. Would you turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11? It's Paul's recounting of the Lord's Supper. And yet, in the middle of all of that, Paul has some things to say to the church that are some admonitions, some warnings, some advice, some teaching. Let's start 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh for another his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God? Shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come together not unto condemnation. The rest I will set in order when I come." You know, when I was pastor up at Prospect over in Albemarle, that was back in the dark ages when there was only one phone in the house, and it had a cord on it, so you could only go about as far from me to Leonard. And that was the extent of it. Now, some of these younger ones just don't have a clue. And that particular phone was on the wall where the steps went from the first floor to the second floor. And our son, when he was a teenager, would sit down there at night, and he'd get on the phone, and he'd talk to his girlfriend, his guy friends, and he was on the tennis team. He was a runner, 5K, 10K, so he burned up a lot of energy. Well, right beside of the stairs was the refrigerator. So he would reach in the refrigerator, get him a spoon, and it might be a big serving bowl of peas that were left from supper, and he'd clean it out and put it in. And then he'd get the green beans and the macaroni and cheese and whatever, and we'd come downstairs the next morning thinking, oh, well, we've got supper taken care of, but all we'd have would be a sink full of dirty dishes. Happened more than once.
Amen, brother.
And you know, We didn't. It was a whole lot better than him eating cookies and candy and a lot of other stuff. But he pretty well kept our refrigerator clean. And some of you had teenage boys, you know how that goes. Well, now, you know, sometimes we'll decide, let's have leftovers for supper, and we'll get to pulling things out, and we'll pull out a bowl, and we'll say, what is this? Now, I know that never happens to any of you, but just indulge me. Or maybe you go on a trip, and you come back, and you open the refrigerator door, and you say, something smells. And inside, you'll find some bowls, and you think, this stuff will make me sick. Depending on how long it's been in that refrigerator, it could do you in. And so what do we have to do? We have to clean out the refrigerator, pour that stuff in the trash, wash those bowls with hot water and soap, and get them very clean. We need to do the same thing with our lives. Did you notice in verse 30, Paul says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many have died. Paul says, listen, church at Corinth, there's some toxic stuff in your lives that need to be dealt with. It's making you physically sick, spiritually sick. It's even causing some of you to die. Now, that doesn't mean that every sickness comes from sin. Don't get me wrong here. But he's saying this has an effect upon your lives. And just as you cannot say, well, you know, that bowl's got green algae on it, but I'll just put it back in the refrigerator and leave it two more weeks and it'll get better. It doesn't. And the toxic things in our lives don't get better over time. We have to deal with them. Now remember, when you go to chapter 1, Paul calls these folks saints. So they're believers. He's not talking to a bunch of unbelievers. He's talking to people that are Christian, people just like you and me. And you think of all the different things in the church at Corinth that Paul had to deal with. If you go back to the first chapter, you know, they were divided. Some of them said, well, I think Paul's the best preacher. Some of them said, I think the Apostle Peter's the best preacher. Well, Apollos is bound to be the best preacher. Well, y'all can argue over those guys. I'm just for Jesus. You remember that part? Arguing over who was the best preacher, who they were following, had the church divided at least four ways. And then, you know, you get over into the next chapter, and Paul deals with them saying, you know, your folks are carnal, fleshly. Your flesh rules your actions and your words rather than your spirit. And then, you know, you go on a little further, and he says, you know, I wanted to give you some meat, but you couldn't handle it. I had to give you just milk. They were baby Christians, had been baby Christians for years, just hadn't matured, hadn't grown in the Lord. You know, one of the saddest things sometimes in a church is to find a person that's 70 years old that's spiritually on the same level as somebody that's 8. Now, if that 70-year-old just got saved the year before, then that's understandable. But if that 70-year-old got saved 60 years before, it's sad. And he says, you know, I wanted to feed you milk. And then you remember a little further along there was sex sin, fornication. Some guy was living with his father's wife, we assume his stepmother. And the church was proud about it. They accepted it. It was no big deal. Paul said, hey, you've got to deal with that. And then, you know, if when you get over the next chapter, they were suing one another in the court. And, you know, a lot of times if there's just one person involved or two people involved, Paul names names. And since he doesn't name any names here, I assume that there's more than one of these lawsuits going on. And then they were also, you know, they're arguing about how they were taking care of the unmarried ladies and a lot of other stuff. And if you skip over to chapter 12, 13, 14, they get into spiritual gifts and my spiritual gift's better than your spiritual gift. Whoopee-doo. And Paul was saying, you know, we need them all. And evidently there was confusion in the church. He told the wives, he said, you know, you need to calm down and go home and ask your husband some things. And then tongues and prophecies. And he didn't tell them not to speak in tongues and not to have prophecies. He said, keep it in order. Keep it decent. Keep it orderly. Don't have people come into church and the church is just such a commotion that they think they're in a riot or something. And did you notice in the scriptures we read here in chapter 11, he talked about divisions in verse 18. He talked about heresies in verse 19. And then he talked about selfishness in verse 21. Some of them would come and, you know, they would have a like we would call a church dinner, church supper, as a part of the Lord's Supper. And the ones that got there early, who were usually the better off because they didn't have to work till dark like the slaves did, they'd eat everything up. And then the poor folks, when they got here later, there wasn't anything left to eat. Total selfishness. Now, I've never really experienced that, but I had one experience that sort of bordered on that. There's, I don't know where it was, four couples or five couples that was up at Pat and Mick's Fish House up in New London back in those days when you could get all you could eat for $5 or $6 or whatever it was. We were all sitting around, you know, a table and, you know, you place your order and you just can smell the fish that other people are eating and you're salivating and you can't wait. And so here comes the waiter or waitress and she's got the platter. And there's enough fish on the platter for everybody on the table if they take one piece. And the guy at the end of the table takes the platter, dumps it all in his plate, hands it back to her and says, now go get something for everybody else. Now, my wife thinks he was just being funny. I didn't think it was so funny because I was hungry. Of course, she did go get something for everybody else. But, you know, we're all, you know, when you're just sitting there, just can't wait, and he takes it all, you start thinking some unchristian thoughts. You want to reach over and slap him a little bit or something, you know. But can you imagine these people, they get together for the Lord's Supper and it's supposed to be a time of worship, a time of fellowship, a time of growing together as the body of Christ. And some have eaten all the food, there's nothing left. And then he goes on to say drunkenness. Can you imagine what was going on there at the Lord's Supper? All of that going on was like garbage in the refrigerator. It needed to be dealt with. And Paul says, examine yourselves, check it out. See what's going on. And then the last phrase of verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body. I think it has two meanings. One, the meaning of first, what Jesus did for us on the cross. The body that he was broken, whipped, crucified, stabbed with a spear, all of that, you know, when we come to the Lord's table, be reminded of what an awesome price Jesus paid for our sin to be forgiven and for us to go to heaven with Him. Awesome price that He paid. And when we come to the Lord's table, we need to understand and remember and be thankful for the grace of God that's our salvation. But I don't know, the last year or so, when I read that phrase, discerning the Lord's body, I thought about, you know, what about my brothers and sisters? You're also the body of Christ. And our brothers and sisters in other churches that know Jesus, they're a part of the body of Christ. And to discern the Lord's body is to love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. To be concerned about my brothers and sisters in the Lord. To be accepting of my brothers and sisters in the Lord. To minister to my brothers and sisters in the Lord. This week, my wife got a text, I think it was, from a friend from Tulsa. Her husband died unexpectedly several years ago. She lost the house and everything. And now she's desperate, in need. The night that Pam talked with her, almost to the point, you know, that my wife began to wonder, is she going to do something to herself? We prayed about it. We mailed a little bit of money. But I think my wife talked to everybody in Oklahoma except the governor. And the people she talked to, ministered to this lady, gave her money, negotiated with some people that she owed, and she's so much better off. But see, discerning the Lord's body means here's a sister in need with no hope, and you give her hope because you show her the love of Jesus. And folks, there's folks all around us, people that need the hope of the Lord Jesus that you and I can give them. You know, there are people that come to church every Sunday and the only hugs they ever get are on Sunday morning. And they're alone the rest of the week. When we discern the Lord's body accurately, we're going to love folks like Jesus loved them. But you know, we need to go back and he says, examine ourselves. Are there things in my life, things in your life, that don't please the Lord? Pride, arrogance, unforgiveness, immorality, drugs, alcoholism, flesh, ruled by flesh. Are we still a baby Christian when we should have grown? Are there things in our lives where we treat brothers and sisters in the Lord in a way that Jesus would not be pleased? And you know, the sad thing is, these things in our life will never get better unless we acknowledge them and deal with them. I mean, just like putting that little bowl of spoiled whatever it is back in the refrigerator and hoping that in 3 weeks it's going to be edible again, and it's not going to happen. If I get to a place where I'm not going to forgive my brother or my sister, guess what? 3 weeks later, it's not going to be any better. And 6 weeks later, and 6 months, and 6 years, and 60 years. The only way it gets better is if I deal with it. If I'm a baby Christian and don't do something about it to grow in the Lord, it's not going to get better unless I deal with it. If I keep giving myself over to the flesh, it's not going to get better till I deal with it. The good news is, and if you will turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I realize I've got a problem, and I say, Lord, you know, you've just made it evident through the Holy Spirit that I've got a problem, and I confess that as sin, then God is faithful. God doesn't look at me and say, well, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to forgive you or not. No, it says, we confess, He forgives. He's faithful to forgive. You don't have to wonder. Now, the devil will torment you if you let him. God won't forgive you of that. God can't forgive you of that. God hadn't forgiven you of that. Just tell the devil he's a liar, because he is. He is faithful and just to forgive. And then He cleanses us, it says, of all unrighteousness. Just like sometimes you have to take the soap and water and wash out the refrigerator after you get done. The Lord takes His blood and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we stand before Him pure and holy, clean in His presence. You see, Paul, as he writes to these Corinthian Christians, is not trying to condemn them. He's trying to lead them into a life of spiritual, physical, mental, emotional health. As he tells them to deal with anything in their life that's not Christ-like. And as he deals with anything in their life that's not Christ-like, the cleansing of Jesus makes a difference. And so, this morning, just before we go to the Lord's table, let's just bow our heads for a moment. Is there anything in your life? Now, don't manufacture something. Don't let the devil condemn you. But is there anything in your life that the Holy Spirit shows you need to deal with? Then go ahead and just do it. Doesn't take some long, drawn-out process. Doesn't take going and getting a ram or a cow or something in a sacrifice. It's just simply bowing our heads and saying, Lord, forgive me. And if we've got something against a brother or sister in the Lord, we need to say, Lord, I forgive them. And Lord, if I need to, I'll go to them and ask them to forgive me. Nothing like starting the new year clean before the Lord and before our brothers and sisters in the Lord. If we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us. Oh, Father, thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Every morning. And so, Father, as we confess, we thank you for cleansing. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for peace. We thank you for joy. We thank you for health. We thank you for a new, fresh walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our deacons would come now for the Lord's Supper. Jesus told the disciples, "This is my body, broken for you." And the fact that the bread that we partake is lots of little pieces reminds us of the brutality of the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and for me. He blessed that bread and then gave it. I'll ask Kenny if he would bless the bread.
Back